The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time once again for the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Here's your hosts, Alan and Robin Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Morning, Robin.
Morning.
Good for you to join us here this morning. Glad you're feeling a little better.
I am.
Good. How's the foot?
We don't talk about it.
Better than yesterday?
Better than yesterday.
That's a good thing.
We were in the car a lot yesterday. I think that had a lot to do with it.
I think you're right. Yep. Well, at least you got it home and were able to put it up a little bit. So. Yes, indeed. So, Gary from Dundalk... emailed me, and he said he grew up on sea robins, eating sea robins, delicious. Be careful of the horns like a catfish has. So, yeah, they do have some spikes on them. So. But, if they're enjoyable, they're enjoyable. Just, you know, when I was a kid, we caught them in Delaware Bay and fished out of Bridgeton, New Jersey. We caught them on the surf. We caught them on the private boat, that type of thing. You do catch them on the headboats out of Delaware Bay. Caught them off the beach. You know, just they just show up. And when you're after other things, you know, you kind of discount the sea robin. So maybe it's an idea to start figuring out how to clean them and eat them. I don't know.
We'll try it.
We'll try
anything once.
Oh, yeah. Sure, absolutely.
We had Peruvian chicken this week.
We did.
I've never had before. It was amazing with the amazingness. Is that a word?
I don't know.
Empanadas. And then...
Yeah, you did like the empanadas.
Alan's birthday was yesterday, everybody. And I had duck with cranberries and apples. And Alan had a short rib brisket?
No, short rib.
Short
Wellington.
Rib. Wellington. Short rib. I know that part. Wellington.
Yeah.
And, oh, my gosh, it was so good.
It was. I love short rib. So.
I know, but that it was just tender, and the Wellington part was just amazing.
Yep. Sure was. Sure was. Of course, it was in a bed of mashed potatoes, and... Had a really nice, what it was, they called it something other than gravy, but I called it gravy. What was it?
It's a demi-glace.
Gravy.
I think it's lighter and it's shinier, but I will look it up. And I'm sorry if I'm not making a whole lot of sense. The dog is awake.
You got an active puppy on you.
Yeah, I was putting it mildly right this minute.
Took her out during the break. That's what we ought to do. We'd have a name the puppy contest.
Oh, no. Because if I don't like it, I'm not getting in trouble for...
No, I know that. I know that. So, but, yes, I can never remember what she is, but I can remember...
Cabochon.
Yeah, let's talk to... there you go. Got it. So, let's see. Who's on the line? Alan in Baltimore. Good morning, Alan. How you doing?
Yeah, hello, Alan. This is two L's and an A.
Really? Two L's and an A?
The yeah, spelled you've talked to me. You've talked to me before.
Yeah, I remember now. Two L's and an A. That's the correct spelling.
I know it is.
Indeed. What can we do for you?
The reason I called was to say that I've eaten the sea robins, and they are pretty good eating. I was in Ocean City 2 years back, and I was on the beach fishing. and the lifeguards come down, and he puts his chair about 20 feet ahead of me, and I'm saying, you're going to be in the tide. And I walk up to him. I said, aren't you going to be sitting in the tide? He says, you're going to see a phenomenon today you've never seen before. He said, there ain't going to be no tide. And I go, what? He said, yeah, there's not going to be a tide today. So he ran me off the beach at 10 o'clock. I went back on the bayside. And if I'd have had what we call a coffin cooler, I would have filled it with fish. I was catching two for every throw, sea robins, the oyster crushers or the oyster toads or whatever you want to call them.
Right.
I was catching some croakers, and I caught one weird fish. I don't even know what it was yet. But I was catching so many sea robins that they were mostly small, but then I caught a few of them that were like around the 14-inch range. And I go,
that's nice fish, yeah.
Man, I'm going to try to eat one of these. I've never heard of anybody eating them. I'm going to try. So I kept a few of them, and they were actually pretty good eating. And I heard you asked Robin a while ago about the puffer fish.
Yeah.
I was told puffer fish is very good eating, but it's toxic if you get into the belly area.
That's correct. Whatsoever. Yeah,
it can
kill whatever
people.
You don't get into the belly area.
Sick. No, not at all.
But the thing is, I was only catching them, and they were the size of softballs. And that's just too small to mess with. My buddy told me if you can get up into Delaware, he said sometimes you catch them really nice size ones. He said just fillet the backstrap out of them, but
that's
leave
all
the belly alone.
Yep, exactly right. Then when you're done with them, they look like a chicken leg. They call them chick. That's what they call the chicken of the sea, is a puffer fish.
Because
really?
It
looks like a drumstick when you're done. And they are delicious. They're absolutely delicious. I've eaten them several times.
Oh, okay. So. Cool.
Yeah.
I have been afraid to try them, you know?
Yeah. I'm curious to know what the fish was you couldn't identify, what it looked like. Do you recall?
It was thin like an eel. Uh-huh. Dark green. It had scales, not a skin like an eel. And it had like, I'm going to say almost like a snakehead's kind of head on him. But it wasn't a snakehead because I looked it up. But I could not figure out what it was. It was probably about 13 inches long.
Okay.
And just like long and slender like an eel. I do not know what it was. Couldn't find anything reference to it or anything. But I was very curious what it was.
Could have been. I have no idea.
Ribbon fish or?
I was thinking ribbon fish.
It did not look like a ribbon fish because they're like in a clear. They're like a light colored. This was a dark green.
How about a hound? A small hound fish.
No, that I don't know. I've never seen a hound fish before.
I'm working on it. Google, here I come.
All right.
Okay.
Take a look at hound fish. Take a look at lizard fish. I don't think a lizard fish is dark green.
This guy was dark green.
Interesting.
And here's a question, what happened to me, and a question. Are snakeheads in the bay?
The answer to that is they cannot tolerate the salt. They're in plenty of tidal backwaters, but they're not in the bay proper that we know of. I've never heard of anyone catching any on the bay. But
okay.
I've
seen one on the. A lady caught one, and we was actually trying to. It got off of her hook and bounced around on the dock for a while, and then it got into the water. And I'm saying, that looked like a snakehead. I'm almost positive, and everybody on the pier said the same thing.
Yeah,
but we didn't get it to try to retrieve it from the water because we didn't want it to get back in there.
Yeah, they can tolerate some salt, but they don't. They don't inhabit the bay proper. Keep in mind, if you have an opportunity, go online or find one somewhere called Big Ass Fish, BIGAZZFISH. It's a magazine we just published. It's online, and it's in some of the dealers. You know, we haven't gotten it totally distributed yet, but we will. It's an annual, so it'll be coming out once a year, but the distribution will go on for a long time, as long as we have any left. But it tells the whole story of the snakeheads. We actually had Steve Early, who was the freshwater fisheries director at the time of the Crofton Pond incident.
Okay.
And he tells the story of the media making up all these wild tales about, you know, that's going to walk across land, and it's going to grow to monster size. It's going to eat your children, and you know, Frankenfish and all this stuff. I mean, they just blew this thing.
I've heard the Frankenfish one, yeah.
Yeah, they just blew this all out of proportion, and then of course Hollywood rushed out a few movies out on the Science Fiction Channel, and you know, had them growing the size of a submarine and jumping up and you know grabbing people off the docks down in Louisiana and. It was a mess. But you know, quite frankly, they're a prey fish. Believe it or not, they are predatory, but they're also prey when they're small. Soft fins, no spiny dorsal fin or anything like that as a defense mechanism. You know, like a bluegill or some or a bass or something like that that has that spiny dorsal fin. They, they eat the fry of other fish, perhaps, but do other fish eat their fry? Most definitely. So we do have an article in there by Joe Bruce, well-known to many Baltimore anglers, that says, be grateful for snakeheads because it gives anglers another opportunity out there. And we have an article by Joe Love, that's his forte in DNR. He's in charge of
it. Okay.
And he says it's 20 years of turmoil because they really don't know what to do with these fish. You know, they're so prolific, you're never going to wipe them out.
Right.
There's beginning to be a commercial market for them because people are finding out how delicious they are.
Oh, they are.
But in 20 years, we've not really made any dent or any impact, you know, even though they've said, you know, catch them and kill them. That was a requirement and right off, but that's no longer a requirement. And now there's even a commercial bow fishing license available for them.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's if you have a chance to take a look at it, it's a pretty decent magazine.
I can't find his fish.
And we have Steve Chaconis. Steve Chaconis talk about how they originally came into the Potomac and you know what's going on from there. So it's
right.
You know, got bow fishing articles on them and how to fish for them in a kayak and that type of thing. So it's quite an industry growing up around the snakehead. You sound like you're very familiar with them.
I got friends of mine that are definitely big into fishing for them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. And, do they bow fish or they just angle for them?
Both.
Yeah.
I've got bow fishermen and regular fishermen, and they've been trying to talk me into the bow fishing angle of it, and I just haven't had time.
Yeah, that time is a very valuable commodity, so.
Yes, it is.
Indeed.
And like he was saying a little bit ago about having another species to go after, that is very true. So I'm going to Ocean City next weekend and see what I can get into.
Well, have fun.
Well, good luck with that. That's for sure. You fish from shore. Or you headed out.
I may take a boat out with some friends. I may go out on a boat, but mostly time I do all the bay fishing. And my brother and I go out on the. Till the lifeguards run us off, we went on a beach and fished some surf fishing.
Got it.
We have Got fun it. Doing that.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for the call.
Well, thank you. And enjoy your show. I'm glad to hear Robin back.
Me
thank
too.
Thank you so much. It really means a lot.
All right.
All right.
Thanks, sir.
Have a good day, sir.
You
All right.
Too. Bye-bye. Alan.
Yes, dear.
The difference between demi-glace and gravy?
Yeah. Okay.
With flour, cornstarch.
Right.
Demi-glace is a stock that is reduced down to get the water out of it.
Ah, makes sense. Okay. Hey, here our buddy Ted says we caught our first snakehead in the Eastern Bay last year. We were all surprised. I would guess you would be. I wonder what
kind
of...
That's one ugly fish when you pull it up.
What's that?
Snakehead.
Oh, yeah. They're not very happy looking, so interesting. Good to hear from you, Ted. I hope you like Marilyn Loves Crabs, that's for sure. All right, we're going to take a break. We've got to tell our folks about Clyde Sport Shop. You know, they're located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. We've been telling you about them for just about the entire time we've been on the air with not only the Outdoorsman Radio Show, but also the old Maryland Sportsman Show. So I'm looking at one of their advertisements right now, and I forgot to mention during the last commercial break that they have a very large selection of St. Croix fishing rods. These are rods desired by people who like a very, very nice, high-quality rod at not an extreme price. St. Croix fits the bill, and Clyde's got them, that's for sure. Of course, they have Penn. They have Fluger, which I've got a couple Fluger rods and reels, which I really like. They've got Shakespeare, which makes the ugly stick, which is desired by people. You know, one of the best flounder rods is an ugly stick because they have the sensitive tip, okay? And it's when I say sensitive, it's a very, real soft action tip. And when a flounder sucks the bait, you want to see that tip moving on the fishing rod, and yet it has the backbone to set the hook and bring that flounder in no matter how big it is. So I like the ugly stick. They have a premium monofilament line, which they'll fill your spool with, and live bait, frozen bait. They've got the big salties that people use for snakeheads. They hook them up, and they actually started getting them in and using them for the freshwater striped bass in Liberty and Piney Run, the ones that are you know, basically landlocked in the reservoir. So the big salties, if you like a great big soft ray minnow, that's what you got in a big salty, and Clyde Sports Shop has them. Stop by and pick up a few. Along with everything else, of course, they've got the bull minnows and grass shrimp and all the other live bait, everything for crabbing. All this at 2307 Hams Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway, exit 9. Phone number 410-242-6108. 410-242-6108, 6108. Clyde Sports Shop. The website is Clyde's Sports, two S's in the middle, ClydeSports.com. Open 7 days a week, and they look forward to seeing you at Clyde Sports Shop. You know, we talk about backyard billies a lot. I go by there a lot because I'm on 50 a lot. And all the stuff you see along Route 50, there's more of that, you know, the hardwood, the poly, the Adirondack chairs, the chicken coops, the dog kennels, the greenhouses. The greenhouses. It's time to get that greenhouse set up in your yard. Grow some tomato plants. Keep the squirrels off of them. Keep the rabbits off of them. And if you're out in the country, keep the deer off of them, off your plants. So why not stop by Backyard Billy's and take a look at that? Don't forget they have the barbecue grills. They have the Traeger. They have the which you control with your phone. It's a pellet grill. Set it and forget it, like whatever that oven commercial was. Big Green Egg, Kamado Joe, fire pits and fire rings for doing some, you know, s'mores and marshmallows and hot dogs in your backyard if you want. A lot of garden decorations, a lot of furniture. BackyardBillies.com, 410-827-4500, 410-827-4500. But they are a destination. Aren't they, Robin?
Yes, they are.
They are a destination. So
spend all day, I can tell you.
Yeah, you can. You can. We ran into Captain Dawn and his wife and Kenny and his wife there one day. Just browsing around, spending a lot of time. Open 7 days a week, Route 50, exit 44, Graysonville. Your backyard is going to look just great. We'll be right back.
Alan Ellis here for Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bedliners on the market. Whether you're a hunter, a crabber, angler, contractor, farmer, waterman, or weekend warrior, your Linex Bedliner with a lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, or any kind of tools. Have your Linex bedliner installed at Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located off Ritchie Highway at 81 Dover Road. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-789-0199. That's 789-0199. Catonsville Linex is just off Security Boulevard on 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Call Jack Carver, 410-455-0800, 455-0800. These Linex dealers can install tough truck gear accessories, tonneau covers, step bars, toolboxes, truck hitches, and more. And ask about the Linex fleet services. Do what I did and have Linex install your spray-on truck bedliner and truck gear today. Linex. Madonna Seafood is known for having the best crabs and seafood in Harford County. Madonna Seafood is just a quick scenic trip from Baltimore up Delaney Valley Road. Now, Madonna Seafood Carryout has delicious steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, subs, Fisher's popcorn, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Madonna Seafood Restaurant is a full-service casual dining restaurant with all-you-can-eat crabs in a quiet atmosphere with an extensive menu. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway. That's Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, year-round crabs. 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland. Madonna Seafood is open at 11 a.m. and closed Mondays. 410-557-CRAB, 2722, madonnaseafood.com.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and the Outdoorsman Radio Show with Alan and Robin Ellis.
Yes! Here comes Amos! Now, Amos Moses was a Cajun. He lived by himself in the swamp. They hunted alligator for a living. They just knock him in the head with a stump. The Louisiana law gonna get you, Amos. It ain't legal hunting alligator down in the swamp, boy. Now everybody blamed his old man for making him mean as a snake. When Amos Moses was a boy, his daddy would use him for alligator bait. Tie a rope around his waist and throw him in the swamp. Named him after a man of the cloth. Called him Amos Moses. Yeah.
Jerry Reed, your favorite, baby.
Yep.
One of them.
I love.
Somebody, when we were at the measuring event last Saturday, Doc Homiak was telling me that a friend of his had purchased an alligator hunt in Florida on a conservation auction.
Uh-huh.
And he had a 5-year-old boy. And, of course, all his buddies were kidding the 5-year-old boy and telling him they were going to use him for alligator bait. And the kid was getting upset. And I just simply said, Amos Moses. And they looked at me quizzically, Amos Moses? I said, yeah. And then I sang a little bar of it. And they said, oh, yeah, who did that song? So, hey, Tackle Box Tim, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good morning.
Doing well. Can hardly hear you.
Okay, I got a problem with my phone. Is it okay to try to throw it on speaker, or will that really happen?
See what happens.
Okay, hang on a sec.
All right. Well, that was good. Whatever you just did was good.
Okay, well, we're better then. Hey, first
okay,
of all,
go
I
for
have
it.
A belated birthday.
Oh, thank you, buddy. Appreciate that.
No problem. And you're talking about short ribs. I did the first attempt in my life last weekend for Mother's Day for my wife. And they turned out.
Oh, how did it turn out?
Yeah, it turned out pretty good. I had a half a bottle of wine left over from the night before and used that as the braising liquid and threw some more herb and stuff in there. And 5 hours later, nice slow cook, they turned out pretty well.
Oh, yeah. No question.
I didn't do a fancy pants demi-gloss, but we ate pretty good.
Yeah, well, I didn't do the fancy demi-glace either, but something did. So somebody did, but it was pretty good.
Yeah. Speaking of celebration things, take them as you will. I just have been realizing that last month was the 30th anniversary of my very first article.
Wow! How about that?
Yeah, I have.
I don't even remember. Yeah, but what was it about? What did you write about? I don't even know.
Ode to Dundee.
Don't even remember.
Ode to Dundee.
How about that?
Yeah, that's been quite a while.
That launched your writing career 30 years ago.
Yes, sir, it did. I was piecemealing here and there for the first couple of years, but somebody finally thought I was good enough, and through the years, it's been a great experience getting to learn things from the people that shared their knowledge with me, and actually, more so than that, just the people that you meet along the way.
Right. Exactly. No question about that. I have experienced similar things in my life for sure. That's part of the fun of being in the outdoors world. You meet a lot of people in a lot of walks of life, and the more people you meet, the more people you realize you've never met. And
it is, and the longer I write, though, the harder it gets because there's only so many ways that you can fish. And not trying to recreate what you already did is becoming a chore.
Right. Well, you know, there's always different ways to tackle. I mean, look, you've probably never fished with a 20-foot roach rod for anything. Like
you're
they do
absolutely
in
right, because I have no idea what that is.
Well, a roach... It is a small fish. I would liken it to a golden shiner, okay? And it's a very popular fish to fish for in Great Britain. And they use these long 20-foot rods. They have this whole technique. You've probably never fished a hair rig for carp.
No, I have not.
Have you? Well, you need to get a copy of Big Ass Fish.
Yeah.
Go online and take a look. Because Joe Bruce, who is our carp expert, ties up his own hair rig. And I learned a lot about hair rigs for fishing for carp. And it's a whole different world. It's a whole other world. So there's plenty of opportunities. Plenty.
Well, I'm sure there is. It's harder to reach out, I don't know why, to the younger fishermen who are really good, because sometimes they just do not want to give up information on how they're doing.
Oh, I can tell you that in doing my research and work for the invasive thing, the snakehead people have formed their own quote unquote community.
Oh, they have.
Yes, they have, and it's very, very difficult to interact with that quote unquote community. So yeah. What do you do? You just
got to look for other sources.
Yep, that's all you got to do. So I'm not picking on them or anything like that.
Not at all.
But it's just a learning experience for me, and it is primarily, you know, young guys, very active social media. That's how they communicate. That's how they react. That's how they sell their product. That's how they do things. And unless you have broken through that, whatever that little barrier is there, it's just, you're not part of it. So it's kind of interesting. So
like the comment that the younger fishermen, hey, they got knowledge from the older set. So might be time to start passing along some of your own knowledge.
That's true. Good point.
It's the Spider-Man thing, too. Much is given, much is expected.
Uh-huh. Yep, I don't think that was originated with Spider-Man, but
no,
but
not at all. It's just where I have heard it the most.
I got it.
Before I let go, I've got another bad dad joke for both you and Robin.
All right, let's hear it.
What did the Roman say when the emperor threw his ex-wife to the lion?
What did the Roman say when the emperor threw his ex-wife to the lions?
Gladiator.
What
did
what do you say?
Gladiator.
Oh, that's horrible.
That's a good one. That is a
it
good
is
one,
funny.
Jim.
I've got to sign off. I'm sorry. Y'all have a great rest of the day. The dog's trying to eat the mic, and I don't want to take a chance.
The dog is trying to eat your microphone?
Uh-huh.
You don't want to
that could cut the show short for Robin. But
yeah.
if you're doing a naming thing, call her Lucy.
Lucy.
I had a Lucy.
We had a Lucy. Lucy.
Okay.
I was thinking, I love my Lucy, and she looked a lot like this dog, so that would be really hard.
Yeah.
But I like Birdie, and I like, Rosie. I like that now. And I like Bessie.
Uh-huh.
Aunt Myrtle.
I like Myrtle. I do like, I had an Aunt Myrtle, and I really like Myrtle.
I had an Aunt Toots. Why don't you name her Toots?
That would be nice, because Aunt Toots just passed.
Yeah.
Names that you don't hear anymore. Whether it's good or bad.
That's
no,
true.
No, but actually, I like Myrtle, and I like Myrtie, because I had an aunt, they called her Myrtie. So I like both, I like Toots and Myrtie. We're getting in the right direction, guys. Here we go.
All right.
Okay.
See you later, Robin.
Okay, everybody, have a super day. Get out, stay safe, but don't hang up, because Alan's still here. Bye.
She did her closing in the middle of the show. Wonderful. Okay. All right, Tim. We're giving your tackle away next Saturday, so.
Yeah, I will call in, and we'll do an introduction for the next package.
Sounds good, buddy.
Take care.
Thanks, man. See ya.
All right,
bye-bye. We have Bruce in Baltimore City. Good morning, Bruce. How are you, sir? Thanks for holding on.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about it before, but it's been a while. With Snakehead, is it illegal to sell those wholesale and retail?
No.
Okay, I might have misunderstood, because I thought the conversation was they were concerned if they got so popular commercial that there would be more snakehead, and you know it's a very aggressive fish and evasive. So I might have misunderstood. So, all right.
Here's the deal, okay, Bruce? The snakehead's not going away, okay? They breed several times a year. I'm not sure what the real number is, but they are very, 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 very prolific. 400,000 eggs. The adults will guard the babies in what's called a giant bait ball until they're big enough to start eating things on their own. So they're not going away. They grow very quickly. If there's a commercial harvest of them, let's say you have a little stretch of marsh that you can go out there and harvest 80, 100 a day, it will cut down on the population, but it will not eliminate the population, because they are very good at hiding. They are very good at utilizing cover. They're very good at reproducing. And they are very aggressive as far as feeding is concerned. But we can outsmart them, but we can't outsmart all of them, and you'll never catch them all.
Yeah.
And if it comes to that point when they say, hey, we're down 80% on our population of snakeheads, wait a year, because you'll be back up in a year or two if they would put some kind of restriction on them. They're that prolific. So you're never going to get rid of them. Listen, these are fish that will travel the roadside ditches in Dorchester County from the marsh to marsh. These are fish that will walk across a flooded road from Savannah Lake to the marsh and from the marsh to Savannah Lake down in Dorchester County. These are fish that are not going to be easily eliminated. So if they open a commercial market for them, I say Godspeed. Do it. Eat all you can. Catch all you can, because you've got to market for a long, long time.
One other question. I understand our illustrious governor, Wes Moore, so the Supreme Court made the decision, made it easier for people, concealed carrier or the firearms. And Wes Moore decided, you're more knowledgeable than I am, that you can't have a firearm within 50 or 100 feet of public places. And every place. And the NRA brought suit against him right away. And
yeah, they did. The moment he signed it, they filed a lawsuit. That's correct.
Exactly.
Injunction. Okay. Thanks for the call. See you later. Bye-bye. All right. I think we need to do a break. Anybody else on the line there, Aaron, at the moment? Okay. Lee, hang on there a minute, buddy, and the floor will be yours as soon as we talk about a couple of our sponsors. Let's talk about Brent, our buddy, over there at Spurrier's Tire Service. Spurrier's Tire Service, located at the corner of Dover and Elliott Roads. Or is it the corner of Elliott and Dover Roads? I'm not sure. But right there on the corner. They're just off Route 50. They're two blocks off Route 50 in Easton. That's where the locals get their tires and their auto service work done. American-made Bridgestone and Firestone tires are featured, of course. But they carry Michelin, Yokohama, and a lot of other brands. Spurrier's Tire Service has the tires for your car, your truck, any maker model. And now it's interesting because as I'm driving down the highway and I see a little car or a big truck, I go, oh, I could mention you in Spurrier's Tire Service. I was coming home last night and I looked over and there's a F-250 diesel and the guys jacked this thing up. When I looked up the side window of our car, I'm looking at the bottom of his door, of his, you know, passenger door. I thought, well, I bet Spurrier's has the tires for you, too. And they do, of course. Any tire for any machine in your barnyard or your backyard, your garden tractor, all your farm equipment, your lawnmowers, your wheelbarrows, they've got tire repair, and they're good at it. Full-service automotive repair. If that check engine light comes on, well, they're going to check it, diagnose it, and they're going to repair your vehicle. Easy peasy. 24-hour truck service and much more has kept Spurrier's customers, including Robin and me, satisfied for well over 30 years. Stop by with no appointment needed for tires. Give Spurrier's Tire Service a call in Easton at 410-822-7384. Visit the website, spurrierstire.com. For no appointment for tires, 410-822-7384, Spurrier's Tire Service. We'll be right back.
Hey, if you know a lot about guns or not much but want to learn, Bel Air Gun Range provides a place to shoot, practice, and learn in a family-friendly environment. And you can make your selection from the showroom when you're ready to own a firearm. Now, at Bel Air Gun Range, the public indoor gun range is open 7 days a week with no membership fee required. Rental firearms are on hand. Bel Air Gun Range memberships are available to individuals, couples, and families on an annual basis. The Gun Range stocks handguns, rifles, and shotguns for shooting sports and competition, hunting, and home protection, ammunition too. And Bel Air Gun Range buys, consigns, sells, and transfers new and used firearms. Bel Air Gun Range offers personal firearms classes with an NRA-certified instructor. HQL courses can be taken in a group or virtually from the convenience of your home. For more details about Bel Air Gun Range, services, sales, and classes, stop by 2137 North Fountain Green Road in Bel Air, Maryland, or visit the website, belairgunrange.com. The phone number is 410-399-9518. That's 399-9518. Be safe, shoot, and have fun at Bel Air Gun Range.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery. Any battery you need. Battery Warehouse, convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. Alan Ellis here for Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bedliners on the market. Whether you're a hunter, crabber, angler, contractor, farmer, waterman, or weekend warrior, your Linex Bedliner with a lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, any kind of tool. Have your Linex Bedliner installed at Catonsville Linex just off Security Boulevard, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Call Jack Carver, 410-455-0800. That's 455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located off Ritchie Highway at 81 Dover Road in Glen Burnie. Call Bobby Hawkins, 410-789-0199. That's 789-0199. These Linex dealers can install tough truck gear accessories, tonneau covers, step bars, toolboxes, truck hitches, and more. And ask about the Linex fleet services. Do what I did and have Linex install your spray-on truck bedliner and truck gear today. Linex.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and the Outdoorsman Radio Show with Alan and Robin Ellis.
Put another log on the fire. Cook me up some bacon and some beans. And go out to the car and change the tire. Wash my socks and sew my old blue jeans. Come on, baby, you can fill my pipe. And then go fetch my slippers. And boil me up another pot of tea. Then put another log on the fire, babe. And come and tell me why you're leaving me.
All right, let's talk to Lee in Towson. Good morning, Lee. How you doing?
Good morning, Alan. Let's picked up and Robin, if you're there, and happy birthday.
Thank you.
I finally picked up the copy of the Big Ass Fish.
Oh, good. Glad to hear that.
Went over to Clyde's. I was over in that area.
Got it.
Picked up a copy. But, Alan, I've read a couple of the articles. To say the least, it's very well done. It's nice to see some fresh contributors you have in there, and what I always like about what you do with hunting and fishing is you got good informative information put out there. How the snakeheads were introduced to Maryland is I forgot all about the things of the fantasies about them walking across ground and whatnot. I remember all that and how controversial it was. And now they're, obviously with Joe Bruce's article, how they're, you don't think
be,
about
be,
it.
Be grateful, they're be grateful for accepted. Them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, they're accepted and it's, it's a great species. It's
well, I know you've caught your. I know you've caught your share of them. So.
Oh yeah. And I'm predicting the future. I think there's going to at some point with the snakeheads. I don't know if you have the blue cats, but I think there's going to be limits. I think eventually, as with our bass and other introduced fish. To the state that I think you're going to see limits put on snakeheads eventually because the guys at and gals that hunt them with a bow are very, very efficient at night.
Yes.
And some of these areas that are hunted in the gunpowder bush on our side of the bay, they're heavily hunted, and they kill literally hundreds. They can kill hundreds of these things a night.
That's true. I haven't done it.
My daughter's done it. And it's a very efficient way of taking these things. And the good thing is these fish are introduced into the market. They're being utilized. At first,
yes,
they were being just destroyed and thrown out. But now that all these fish are being sold in market, and they're obviously a good eating fish. But
DNR has kind of smoothed the way for these fish to be harvested recreationally and sold commercially. You know, I mean, like there's a commercial bow fishing license. It's $15.
Right.
You know,
you
make the application, you go out and shoot, you know, 50 of them a night, and you take them to the local market and sell them. And what I'm hearing is, you know, the guys that are selling them, they don't like to fillet them. So they will say, here's the deal. I will pay you this for the live fish. And, you know, that I'm paying you for the whole fish, but part of the deal is you're filleting it. You know, it's kind of like a behind-the-scenes type of deal, you know. So
my daughter bought a electric fillet knife. And I was struggling trying to clean the snake heads because they're slimy and they slide back and forth on the cutting board.
Yeah.
But she's got this electric, Alan, you lose a little bit of the yield. But
yeah.
They're beautiful fillets. And she does them in a tenth of the time that it would take me to do them with a knife.
Indeed. First time I ever saw one of those, I may have told this last year or some. Last week, I can't tell you. Captain Hank Stanek and his wife Lori were captains on Lake Ontario, and we did an early season trolling trip for big brown trout and rainbows and some salmon. When I say early, it's in June. They use light tackle and they troll big rebels and stuff, but they don't go, you know, they don't go the 100-foot depth. They stay in the top 20 feet of the water column. These fish come up and just slam your bait. I mean, you're still on a downrigger, but it's a lot of fun. And light line, light tackle. Mm-hmm. We caught a good pile of fish, brought them back to the dock, and Hank said, well, I'll clean them up for you, take them home. He took that electric fillet knife to those trout and those salmon, and just, I mean, in 15 minutes he was done. I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. You know, skinned the fillet off, chunked them up, wrapped them up, and ready to go. And it's like, that's impressive. So,
yeah.
Electric fillet knife is a good investment. So, do you mind sharing the brand? Do you remember the brand? I mean, do you mind sharing the brand?
I want to say, I don't think it was Makita. It's yellow and black.
Okay.
I'd have to look at it.
I'll take a look.
Whatever it is, but next week I'll give you the name of it. But one other thing, my son and his little clique, first when they found the snakeheads in basically in the Dundee, nobody for years. These guys were loose within their own clique. You're talking about social media and kids. They kept it to themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Two or 3 years, nobody knew that they were in the gunpowder and Dundee, especially the Dundee. And unfortunately, now that the word is out, that place is beaten to death by the snakehead, you know, the night shooters. And the fishing is nowhere near as good as what it was back when they first discovered they were in there.
Right, right.
So my kids are going elsewhere, other places throughout the Chesapeake, just to get away from this metro crowd that has...
That makes sense.
They've invaded the Dundee. It's easy access.
Yeah.
You know, obviously close to Baltimore, but they've...
Yeah.
Had to go, you know, my daughter with her her business, guide business, has had to go elsewhere because I don't know. I just think the eventually I think we're going to see limits on the some steakheads, and which will be fine. It'll be all good. And again, a great magazine. I've only read a couple articles.
Good.
And you got it. I think 110%.
I appreciate that. Thanks, Lee.
Great job.
Take care, buddy. We'll talk soon. Yep. See you.
Yep.
Bye. All right. Hey, folks, we're fast approaching the end of the show. We've got Henry in Baltimore. Good morning, Henry. How are you?
Okay.
Good. And
most of your local markets have fishing stalls like Lexington, Cross Street Market, different ones.
Yeah.
And they have reasonable prices, don't they?
Sure. As reasonable as possible to keep them in business, I guess. Yeah, absolutely.
And my father, he used to sell fish on the corner, but he was making a pretty good profit.
You know,
like A-Rab.
He can. Yep.
Ain't like that. Fruit. You see that.
Got it.
You knew any A-Rabs? People used to sell it like
I've heard of that. The A-Rabbers in Baltimore with the horse drawn carts and so forth. Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know any of them personally. So
you don't see much of that today.
No, not anymore.
The fruit. I seen a guy the other day coming up to
coming
up Reisertown Road.
Sure.
He had all types of fruits and things like that. That's a pretty good profit on the side, isn't it?
That's a nice side hustle. You're right.
So, you get the good thing. But they get it from the farm, or do they have a warehouse they get it from?
I have no idea, buddy. I'm not in that world. So.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Henry. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate the call.
Take
care. Bye-bye. There goes Henry. Hey, folks, I want to tell you about a shotgun from Clyde Sports Shop. It's called the A5 Vintage Tan. It's a reliable, short, recoil-operated autoloader shotgun. It's got a gripping adjustable for the length of pull, the cast, and the drop. You shotgun hunters know what I'm talking about. Full coverage, retro vintage tan camo finish, Vector DS choke tubes, all at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Your full-line Browning dealer for firearms, licenses, ammunition, gunsmithing, and scope mounting. Stop by Clyde's. They're open 7 days a week. Clyde's Sports website. Been around since 1957. Make sure you do. And don't forget to stop or check out Backyard Billy's, too. Now get out, stay safe.